Hey rockers, I'm Mark Starace and you're listening to the Rock Solid Podcast. Yeah.
I can't afford to be. This is small town music. This is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away. A song away. A song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis, and joining me in the Zoom room to promote the release of his new studio album called Crossfire. Please welcome Swiss rock legend, Mark Storace. Hey, Mark, good morning to you, or good evening to you.
Hi there, Pat. How are you doing? I bet you have nicer weather than us.
The weather has been nice. Today's a little overcast in Los Angeles, but I never complain because 95% of the time we are in the sunshine. Exactly. Let me ask you something. Before we move into talking about the new album Crossfire, which is out right now, people, so you can pre-order it on all formats, digital download, CD, and vinyl. But before we talk about that, the album is called Crossfire. The band is called Storace. And Mark, is Crocus still active?
Crocus became active last year when we were asked to play the celebration of the Crocus hometown called Solothurn. 2,000 years Solothurn. Can you imagine that?
Wow. I mean,
2,000 years. Hell, that goes back further than the Romans, I guess. But anyway, The place was like jam-packed. We played in this big square, and we had a great gig. I even had my daughter, Juliana, singing Bedside Radio with me. And it was a real party, you know, and good time, great vibes. And when we got off stage, the band was like, they couldn't believe that they don't exist anymore, you know. And next thing I know is like they asked me, would you want to do some gigs? I said, I never wanted to stop. I was the guy who complained and said, you know, and then came COVID, and the band just gave up the rest of a tour, which would have brought us back to the USA and South America and Canada. And we would have ended up playing in the UK with Saxon, who are old friends of ours. And that was all scrapped because of COVID, you know.
Yeah.
And then I went to the solo stuff.
In the future, we might see some more Crocus shows, though.
Well, we're playing on Monsters of Rock.
Oh, Cruise. There you go. All right.
So if you got tickets, you know, Some people, they book and then they cancel. So watch out. There might still be one or two going, you know, but basically it's sold out. Monsters of Rock going through the Caribbean to the Bahamas.
Wow.
One more time. For me, it's going to be my fourth rock cruise, I guess.
Yeah.
Monsters of Rock cruise. And I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
Excellent.
We'll be going again without Fernando because he never takes the journey, the flight over the big pond anymore.
Okay.
The rest of us are looking forward to it. So instead of six piece, will be a five piece. And Mandy Meyer does a hell of a great job on lead guitar.
Yes. Yes, he does. All right. Yeah. Let's talk about Crossfire. These songs sound like they're meant to be played live. Are there any plans?
Oh, yeah.
Are there any plans for any Storace shows in the new year?
Well, yes, of course. But right now, there's nothing confirmed. And so there's nothing really I can talk about until everything's confirmed. But we have a great booking agent here It's they're called Good News Productions, with sister companies all over the world. And so I'm pretty confident they're going to come up with something good. And looking forward, like the rest of the band, you know, Patrick, Dominic, Emmy, Serge, and I. It's like, it's such a great band. I have to tell you more about them, you know. Patrick Abbey is our drummer, and he does a lot of work besides being the drummer. He's musical director, he's engineer, he's did promotion work with BMG Ariola for 15 years. He joined Crocus for the Rock the Block album, Fire and Gasoline tour. And I love him. I mean, he's really like the motor in the band. You know, there's so much to do.
Yeah, he's keeping it going.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's Dominic Fave. He's the rhythm guitar player, a big friend of Patrick's. They come from the same area, French speaking. And he is also a great engineer and helped with Patrick towards the recordings of the Crocus album Rock the Block, you know, and stayed on for the Fire and Gasoline tour, which was the longest Crocus tour of Europe to date. And then there's Emmy Meyer. She is one hell of a bass player, such a positive face to see on stage with her long curly hair, and you know, the way she moves and gets into it, you know. She and lately Serge Kristen replaced our old buddy Turi Vicky, who has played lead guitar for the past 3 years, but decided for private reasons he would like to stop doing the live thing, you know. And so Serge Kristen was in the very, very first Mark Storace band, like way back. And we opened for Johnny Holiday. That was the biggest gig we did in the French-speaking part. And yeah, so I'm glad he's back on board. And we're having a hell of a good time, you know, and looking forward to more.
Excellent. And the band name, Storace, yeah. like Van Halen and Bon Jovi, you just went for it, Storace.
Yeah, yeah. And I was advised that was a good decision.
Yeah.
Because that's how I'm known here in Switzerland. Basically, hey, Storace, you know, Storace. Hey, Storace. Yeah, okay. And so just carry on with that. Now Storace is a band, you know, Storace, yeah. The Storace band. Tommy Henriksen, you know, is like, hey, Storace, I want to produce your new album. You know, I said, hell yeah. This was after a festival we played together with Alice Cooper. And yeah, since then, it's been an amazing time. He really had to make time to be able to produce this. And he did much more than producing. He started out as a bass player, became a guitar player, and he can also play keyboards. He sings like hell. I mean, he's got his Crossbones Scully album out, his solo band out right now. So yeah, besides touring with Alice Cooper, he was touring with the Hollywood Vampires and building his own Crossbones Scully thing, you know.
Yeah.
So he really, much respect to him, because he really made time. I mean, he lives here in Switzerland, which is also a gift, you know. And he instead of just saying, look, I'm here, I need time with my family, he's got such an understanding, wife, Sandra, nice little boy, very lively, playful guy. And I enjoyed every time I visited them to record in the afternoon. And then she'd have dinner ready, you know, and sometimes I'd spend the night if we drank, say, a whole bottle.
Right.
You know, to celebrate. We just celebrate life. And he was celebrating being back home with his family, you know. It was really nice, positive vibes, you know.
Yeah, that sounds like a great way to record.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, when you compare it to all the big producers I've recorded with in the past, with Crocus, I mean, respect and chapeau, you know, hats off. And this situation is new because I'm, you know, dealing with another composer. He has bright ideas and such a list of songs, and you know, and it's like a guy who's out there on the road doing it. You know,
yeah.
It's not a producer who is only in a studio. So that was, for me, that was really inspiring because I knew that he was coming with ideas, you know, these riffs and stuff that were going to be arena in Deutsch, tauglich, but good for an arena sound, you know. And yeah, that's how it came out sounding, you know. And the guy who made it sound like that in the end, you know, was none other than Ole Romo. He's a superstar in the world of engineers. And that's why he's worked with Mutt Lange, the legend of producers.
Of course, of course.
Since years, he's worked with Mutt Lange. So God bless Tommy for bringing in these people and even Anna Cara from his own band, lead guitar player, played some stuff and besides himself. And what's his name? John Levine from Dokken. And Jamie Muhoberak played keyboards on the ballad.
Yeah, yes, a lot of
there's one ballad. There's one ballad.
Yes, there is. The album closes out with Only Love Can Hurt Like This.
Heaven only knows where you are. It hurts so much to say goodbye. Now every night of my dreams I wait for you. And I love you now till the day I die. I'll hold on to your memories in a place for you.
You are not known for singing a ballad like this. Why did you decide to use this as the closing track?
Good question. There's a sad story behind it. And the reason is because both our father-in-laws, Tommy's and mine, were both sick during the whole time we were recording this together. And they both died before this was, you know, while we were still writing. And you can imagine the sadness at home, you know, with yeah, our wives. So we wrote the first verse for our father-in-laws and the second verse to alleviate the pain from our wives, you know, because, you know, when you lose your dad for a girl, that's really
a lot.
Yeah, so I did that in two takes, and I you know, I nailed it with tears.
I was gonna say, very emotional, I would imagine, to sing those words.
Yeah, because I loved my father-in-law. I lost my father about 35 years ago, 36, so. And he was kind of a replacement, and I felt he liked me a lot. And so it was really like losing a stepfather for me. And I knew Tommy's father-in-law as well. He turned up once with his wife and we had dinner together. So I had the honor to and the luck to get to know him before he, you know, took off.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's as we get older, this is just life happening.
Yeah, it's part of life, you know. I mean, no one gets out alive.
No one likes it, no one wants it, but it happens.
Yeah. We have to accept it, especially when people are in pain, you know.
Yeah.
It relieves them of their suffering, and we can't be too selfish. And I think that's the bottom line. But there's nothing worse than losing someone who is younger than you, or God forbid, one of your children, or one of your loved ones, or just a friend. If say in a car accident, you know, bang. Mm-hmm. You hear it. You're sitting in a club or somewhere in a restaurant, and somebody comes or calls you up and say this and that happened. You know, boom. Then it's like the worst. You know, the worst.
Yeah, you really do have to embrace every single second of life.
Exactly. That's what I'm doing now. I feel so blessed that I can still not only sing, but you know, bring up the power that the songs need, and I really can serve them well and serve what the band needs, and you know, give the fans what they still want to hear from me. Yeah. And like if we came to the USA next year, we would be free to play Crocus songs, you know, and I know they will hear me sing Crocus songs. So the first thing I'll put on the set list is Screaming in the Night, you know.
Right.
I love singing that song. It's very special to me. Yeah.
When I was a kid, that song was all over MTV, and we just loved it. And speaking of screaming, track one on Crossfire is Screaming Demon.
It perfectly sets up
what's to follow.
Yeah.
Did you know immediately that would be the lead-off track?
Well, basically, yeah, the way it starts, you know, gang, gang, it's like, whoa. The Starachi's back on stage, you know. Put your beer away or drink it quickly and let's get in there. If you're not in there already waiting like they were for opened for Kiss, we opened for the Scorpions, and we opened for Alice Cooper. We didn't have Screaming Demon yet, but we still were playing Live and Let Live from this album. They're not the same, but it's just the respect that I felt from the fans that were curious enough to be there from the very first note, you know.
So, yeah. Like,
so nice. It was so nice. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Now, the first thing I did notice, Mark, is that your voice is as strong as ever. How do you keep the instrument going after all these years?
Well, I think the past has a lot to do with it, because I always, I tried it once when we opened for Joe Walsh in a festival, but I never tried it again. And that's the line on the mirror, the proverbial killer of vocal cords.
Yeah.
Because it eats away flesh, you know. And so anyway, and I just kept on pretty, you know, lively, energetic life, doing the life stuff, enjoying my wine, in those days it used to be cognac at the end of the day, you know, so I could get into my bunk and have a deep sleep. And today I kept that up, you know, and I have the fortune of my wife is a great cook, and she looks not too fatty food. I try to keep, you know, a straight line. So when I go stage, they don't go, oh, look at that belly there. So, you know, things like this, which help for, you know, the power that I need to go up there, you know, that needs power. And the control here that you don't blow anything away.
Right. Yeah. Because.
And of course, I warm up before a show, and then I have my coffee with a little grappa, and I drink my white wine. I have that standing by on stage. That's what I learned from opera singers. In fact, that's rock and roll from the old days.
Right.
From the Mozart days, you know. They always drank a little bit of white wine because it perks you up, and it so does coffee, but coffee can dry your vocal cords.
Exactly, it can, yes.
Yeah, because it's got that dust, coffee dust. And, you know, I think it's basically simple things like that. I'm not in a gym. I don't go jogging. I don't do much exercise, but we have a lot of stairs at home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't want to move into an apartment because that's our gym, you know.
Right.
It's cardio, you know, up and down the stairs we go. And it's training for your memory, because if you forget something, up and down the stairs you go, you know.
Right, you got to go get it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about track 5, Love Thing Stealer. This is an undeniable AC/DC feel to it. The opening guitar riff as well as the lyrics. And I mean, anything that sounds like AC/DC, that can't be bad. But were you conscious of that as you're recording it? Were you like, it kind of sounds like AC/DC?
Well, you know, at that point, if that song came up during this period, well, in the studio or by I would have turned it down. But I've learned now along the way, like that I've tried the experimental stuff. It's, there's some songs on this are influenced by the progressive rock band I played in during the 70s, T, as well as Crocus a little bit. And I tried to steer away from the boogie rock, you know, the blues-oriented rock, riff rock, like with Crocus and AC/DC. Crocus plays a little of that, you know, but Crocus has a wider range, wider mixture of songs, and always a ballad here, ballad there, you know. So, it does have a touch of that. And lyrically, I'd like to mention, it's about this wild rock and roll girl who doesn't give a hoot about what people think of her.
Yeah.
And the idea is a little bit comes from like a continuation, another kind of not so dangerous kind of girl as the Midnight Maniac, you know.
Yeah.
Midnight Maniac was a serial killer, actually. Crimes of Passion. And that's how I got the idea. I was reading USA Today, I think, and there was some article about crimes of passion and how people get forgiven. You know, they don't get the chair if it's a crime of passion. And I was thinking, all this. and then there was this song, this story about in New York, this guy, photographer BG, who used to he was always the first guy on the scene to photograph murder victims, you know.
Uh-huh.
And if you watch the old video, which was played like on high rotation on MTV back then, you'll see the BG guy, you know, with the old flash and stuff. anyway. I'm getting sidetracked now.
That's okay. I want to get sidetracked for a second and go back to 1981. That's the first time I saw Crocus. I saw you open for Cheap Trick, and I saw you open for Ted Nugent. And both times was at the Johnstown War Memorial in Johnstown, Pennsylvania.
Wow.
So long ago for both of us.
Cheap Trick. Wow. Yeah. The first date we played with them was Salt Lake City. And I really liked the singer, Sander. And the guitar player was so funny, and he's such nice people, you know. The drummer always with a cigarette in his mouth, and the bass player was really cool. I thought really mystical guy, and we got on well with Cheap Trick. But was that your first time?
That was my first time seeing Crocus for sure. And we didn't know anything about you. We didn't know the band at all. you were touring with Metal Rendezvous at that time, I think. And we just ate it up, you know, Heat Strokes and Bedside Radio. We were just like, we just couldn't believe what we were seeing. And you guys just came out like a rocket ship. Amazing. Yeah. See you.
Yeah. And you know, we have to thank Mike Bone. He lives in Los Angeles, and I'd love to see him again and have a chat. Our album came out in Switzerland. It was my debut album.
Yes, that was your first one.
Early 1980. And it went like a rocket to the moon, you know, bang, in the top of the charts, and made an echo all over Europe, as far as the USA, you know. And phones were ringing. Our management couldn't keep up with it. And they knew we had to fly over to the USA.
Yeah.
And luckily, this A&R of Arista New York, you know, Clive Davis, CEO, the big guy who discovered Aretha Franklin and Whitney Houston and stuff like that. So Mike Bone was the guy. He listened to Heat Strokes on Bedside Radio, and he said, I've got to have these guys on the label.
Yeah.
You know, and so we played at the Chicago Fest, and that's where we first met Mike Bone and our manager, who became our manager, Butch Stone, who used to manage Black Oak Arkansas before, together with John Colatner, you know.
The guy with the beard and the hair.
Yeah, he became A&R in Geffen Records, I guess. And yeah, that was another story. That was another story. That was, Metal Rendezvous.
Great record.
The show is over. You got to go home again. Late in the night, you're dreaming of a guitar man. The radio station plays his latest song. It says your way of life is kind of a rhyme. Do you?
Now, this is going to be a tricky one to ask you, but the second album you make with Crocus is Hardware. And in doing my research, I went back and I'm listening to all the old Crocus stuff. And there's a couple of songs on there that do not hold up very well lyrically in 2024. And I'm talking about Smelly Nelly and Mr. 69. When you think about those now, are you a little embarrassed by those two songs?
I am. I was embarrassed from the first day. I didn't write them. I didn't do it.
I know you did not.
but the guys really got off on that stuff. And
yeah,
their English wasn't so great back then, you know. In the meantime, it's close to perfect. But back then, it was like I was telling those guys, I really don't feel comfortable singing this shit.
Yeah. Now I will say though, the best of the bunch on that album is the song that you did co-write, "Burning Bones," is a pretty great tune.
Oh, thank you. It was the first. the first song I was allowed to join in on, you know. It was pretty tough in the beginning. Lyrics for that was inspired. I was still living in London, and there was a big thing with the Russians invading Afghanistan, you know.
Yeah,
back then, I mean, this was 1980, I think. Yeah, so it really fits, you know. And I had just seen there had just been a series on TV, I was in London and caught a bit of it, called The Holocaust. And it was all about, you know, concentration camps and all the monstrosities that happened during the Second World War. And, you know, so I used that word only, with not the same connotation, but just to kind of explain the horror of war.
Yeah.
And basically, yeah, thanks. I'm glad you like it, you know.
I do like it.
Yeah.
In 1982, One Vice at a Time comes out, and this is when the band starts to record a cover, like, for every album.
Yeah.
This one, you recorded American Woman. Whose idea was that, to choose that Guess Who classic?
Fernando Bonnar, the guitar player, he was always a big Bachman Cummings.
Yes, Burton Cummings and Randy Bachman. Yeah.
Yeah. He was, we even covered later on Stay Awake All Night, which went really well. That was on the Headhunter album. What else did we do? You ain't seen nothing yet.
Yep.
But also a great one. You just ain't seen nothing yet. We did that.
I met a devil woman. She took my heart away.
But the Guess Who song, I mean, that American Woman was the best cover we ever did. And we all admit it. And that's why it's still on the set list, you know.
Yes, absolutely.
We play it at every gig, you know, and thanks to God, the Guess Who. Thank you, Guess Who.
Let me tell people where they can find you. Facebook.com/Mark Storaci. Instagram, you're at Mark Storaci. Again, Crossfire is out right now. You can get it on vinyl. I believe it's colored vinyl of some sort. He's holding it up right now. There it is.
Listen to
that. Look at that. That's a thing of beauty.
I can see through it.
That is beautiful. Who did the album? Who did the album artwork? Who did the cover?
Well, it was my idea. I had picked up pictures and put them together and worked on the emblem, you know, which symbolizes my work with Swiss musicians since ages. I mean, I came from the island of Malta, middle of the Mediterranean, a speck of a place. Used to be a British colony for almost 200 years. And I landed here via London, and I never left, kind of. You know, I love the place, and I get on well with Swiss culture and Swiss musicians. So many great musicians here, because it's a place where all the big bands make a stop in Switzerland. During their European tours. And so that's how it is, you know. I forgot what I was going to say.
That's okay.
Happens a lot nowadays.
That's okay. Now
I get sidetracked. You know?
Mark, before I let you go, I just want people to know one more time, go out and find this album. It's called Crossfire, and the band is Storaci. And Mark, out of all the songs on the album, which one would you like me to use as our playout song today? You get to choose it.
I really love Thrill and a Kiss. You know, it's like so nice. It's it's got this mood in it. It's still a party song, but it's got this special mood in there, you know.
Thank you for your time, Mark, today. And everyone, please enjoy Thrill and the Kiss. Take care, Mark.
All the best. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And Mark, the pronunciation of your last name, Storis?
Any which way you like, but usually in the USA, it's Storaci.
Storaci.
Yeah, Tommy Hendrickson says, hey, Storaci.
How do you say it? How do you say it?
Well, it's like Liberace, Versace, Storace.
All right. All right. See, I've been saying it wrong all this time.